对。
Pump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more than what that camera Wednesday hump day is. All
right. Well, Jordan and Carver dancing in the hallways there. He's made it through 2 hours, Jordan.
He's done a very, very good job.
Done a very good job. Hopefully he can make it one more hour.
He was trying to define what a kitchen is to you.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, that is very true. He's like,
if it has a refrigerator in here, it's a kitchen.
Exactly. Words of wisdom from Shot G. And to all the ladies, peace and happiness forever. You know what? We've been picking on head coach Sean Payton on not having the mandatory mini camp, like actually real field work and everything. Clint Sterner, our good buddy.
Ooh, Mr. Clint.
Hey, over there, Sports Radio 610 over in Houston, Arkansas Razorback, former QB there with the Cowboys as well. My co-host on Arkansas Game Day. He just tweeted 11 minutes ago, head coach David Culley of the Texans just announced they are canceling their mandatory minicamp.
Oh!
That was scheduled for next week. Made a deal with team leaders before ETA started. Then he adds, what are we doing here, fellas? Huge missed opportunity. But you know what? The Saints, the Texans, they know something that apparently the Buccaneers don't know, the Falcons don't know, the Panthers don't know. Everybody else practices, but yeah.
So it's confirmed that the Texans and Saints are meeting in the Super Bowl.
Is that where you're going with? But here's the thing. They're canceling the mandatory minicamp, but Jordan, here's video. This is Clint out there. But they've had OTAs.
They've actually done on-field work.
Now that this is them on the field. They've actually done on-the-field work. They've actually had OTAs. But you know what? Look, I'll play it again, and then we can go quickly through some of these bites and get through a lot of the sound here as well. Alvin Kamara on the team's decision to do more classroom work than field work, and we'll get to Jack.
With that, I think it makes a lot of difference because it's more mental than physically taxing. It's guys that need some more of that classroom work, like you said, and just to exercise the mind, you know, because I mean it's easy to come out here and say we got to practice 3 days out the week, and you can kind of get through that and do what you got to do. And, you know, it's sometimes things get overlooked because you're focusing on, the bigger picture as far as, you know, having the whole structured practice. Whereas when you're in the classroom, it's more catered to, you know, where I'm meeting with my running back group and we're talking about what we have to do as a running back in pass protection and, you know, run schemes and, you know, just route concepts, all that. Like, so, you know, you get a little bit more time to kind of think things through and figure out the why, the when, and the how. Whereas, you know, when you're practicing, it's kind of like you out there and you on the fly with some stuff.
I'm not saying he's wrong on that, Jordan. I just think for a player like him with that experience, I guess I can somewhat understand that. I still think, though, when you're trying to move on from Drew Brees, try to establish who your new starting quarterback is, you got all the young players on the defensive side. I think at least those 3 days of work on the field can be beneficial. Quickly before we get to Jack, two quick sound bites, Jameis Winston, on the fact that it's competing.
Every year, since I've been playing Little League football, I've been in competition. I think that's the sport. Like, that's how we get better.
Taysom Hill.
You know, I think there's obviously a lot of conversation here about this competition and everything else, but I'm super supportive to him and I've felt nothing but support from him as well. And
Alvin Kamara on the back.
I mean, it's obviously competition with that. I mean, he got to compete with Taysom, and he knows that. Taysom knows that he got to compete with Jameis, but I think they're both of them have the right mentality.
Jack, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys. Hello, Carver, wherever you are.
He's in the other room. He's on his iPad right now.
All right. Look. Let me get this right. The Saints are going to copy the team that's already on the clock for the number one pick next year. I mean, I don't know much about what's going to happen in the NFL this year, but I promise you this, they'll be picking first. Doesn't seem like a good move to me.
The Texans, yeah. But look, again, I'm watching video. They at least had some on-the-field work during OTAs. They just canceled the final week of minicamp. So.
Yeah.
You know?
And gosh, yesterday, Maddie said something that I think throws into question not just your show, but all talk shows.
Okay.
She said that this discussion was all just useless rhetoric. I mean, that could be said about virtually everything that's on the radio.
I wouldn't go that far. I think what she was saying is that when you look at anything that we speculate or, I guess, talk about right now, kind of really don't know until the field work goes. And I understand her point to that. I just, you know, would say at the same time that you can do some things. Look, I understand that until you prove it on a game day, hence Bubbles the Monkey. The Graph calls me Bubbles the Monkey because I make assertions. And again, we all do with Emmanuel Butler. But for the most part, you do see some things. And again, don't take my word for it. Don't take it. Zach Strief, now coach for the New Orleans Saints. At the green, bruh. Right before the curse took into effect, according to
you
Saints fans.
You weren't a part of that, were you?
I was there the first year, yes. Ooh. But even he said it, that the year that they won the Super Bowl in 2009, OTAs right. That year, they felt it. They knew it. It was a different sense. The work they put in, the bond that they were making, all of that. So that's why I'm having some fun with this and kind of being serious at the same time. For the only team that we have seen win the Super Bowl in our lifetime here in New Orleans, when you have players on those teams say that a lot of that is forged in this offseason period, to then hear, nah, it's no big deal. I have a hard time buying it just because, again, it's been proven it can be. And that was a veteran team. And my old point to this is, with a young team and, again, trying to find who your quarterback is and identity, who are the leaders, who are the guys that are going to take on, I have a hard time buying that a three-day work period. And again, as Orlovsky said, it's not a hard three-day work period. You're going through the motions, but you're going through the motions. You need to go through that again and just have the joking and the, you know, the camaraderie and doing all those things. I do think it matters. Now, you know, Alvin says we can do all of that in the classroom and we can do that on positional work because I'm going to play Cesar Ruiz and other players. They are doing stuff, but they're doing it in a group setting with their position group and their position coaches. They're just not doing 7-on-7 and team drills.
Well, guys, I just think that, you know, no matter what, it would, you know, you have to have stuff to talk to the real football starts, because you're right. We won't know until it actually happens. But you got time to fill till August, you know, until they go to camp. So, you know, you got to have stuff to talk about. But look, I just want to make one comment about, you know, I think it was Jordan that was saying, you know, that Tom Brady said he had a little hard time with Arians' offense. Mm-hmm. Now, I've never been a quarterback in the NFL, obviously. But he was in the same system for 20 years. So I would imagine that no matter what system he went in,
true,
there would be some adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, I think it also, you know, speaks volumes to Jameis Winston's point to where even though if Tom Brady was having a hard time adjusting to it and it took him that long to get used to that playbook, I think it could be right. Said that Jameis Winston had a hard time, you know, grasping Bruce Arians' offense, and maybe that could be different here with Sean Payton and that offense here.
To
the
point
Saints.
Of that, look, obviously the 30-plus picks is what pops up. You had 30 TDs as well. I mean, it's not like, I don't know, I'm interested to see how it correlates to it. And, Jack, I don't know if you heard the Winston bites compared to the Hill bites, but Jameis just sounds like the guy that is looking to refine that his role in that position. Taysom's learning to be an NFL quarterback. I think that's a pretty sizable gap, to be honest with you.
Oh, I think you know, Jameis is our only hope. I count on, you know, I just think, you know, Taysom's too limited. And you know, like I said, we won't know till it happens. So, but guys, thanks for taking my call. Y'all have a good afternoon.
No problem. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. So again, that's what Alvin was touching on in terms of leadership. I thought was interesting in moving forward that he also did talk about his personal workouts and what they're trying to do. And more importantly, how he wants to be stronger at the end of the season.
You know, everything that I'm doing is setting up for, you know, that season, that long haul. I mean, once we get into week 13, like you said, 14, and going like, I mean, I'm still good. I'm hitting my second, you know, that second win, and I'm feeling good.
We saw some videos already this season, Jordan, or I guess of the offseason, of him, you know, trying to stiff arm while being on the balance board. And
yeah, I think there was a video put out yesterday or this morning of him on the balance, one of those little balance balls.
Yep.
And he was picking up weights.
Oh, wow.
So he's kind of adding in a new element.
Why don't you do what you see him do and do it like, you know, in your driveway right there in Slidell and see how that works?
You mean Mandeville?
Mandeville, same thing, yeah.
I could try it out.
Yeah, just to compare like a real normal person and, you know, super athlete.
I just have
athlete,
to hope my ankle
like
doesn't, you know.
Here we go, you and the ankle.
Yeah, I think we kind of just built off last year. Same thing, a lot of lower body focus, a lot of lateral movement focus. I mean, it's been a grind this year, honestly. Like, it's just been just evolving, trying to evolve every year. And it's like, you know, I do so much and, you know, it's, I'm moving and excelling and progressing in these movements and these exercises like every day, every week. And it's like, it only gets harder. Like, it never gets easier. So we're always trying to find the next thing to do. So he's always trying to stump me. And, you know, I think we was last week trying to, we was making up stuff during the workout, like just going, just flowing, trying to get me to fail. But, you know, it's all in, you know, good faith and it means well.
Uptown Ruler, give me about 60 seconds, sir, so we can get to D. How are you today?
I want justice against Tom Brady.
Justice. Okay.
Justice. I want him sacked, put out the game, and put on the sidelines for 3 weeks. I want justice against Tom Brady and his gang.
What about the rest of the league, though? About the other teams?
Well, Atlanta, we ain't got to worry about them because they got rid of Julio Jones. So okay. We ain't worried about them. I mean, Julio Jones could have went with Julio Fuentes. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing good, Uptown. What kind of daiquiri are we drinking today or this weekend?
No, I'm going to wait till y'all get at Tracy's, and then I'm going to drink a bunch of daiquiris.
Oh, okay. A bunch of daiquiris hanging out with us. I promise. I told you. Because
the daiquiri season, football season start daiquiri season for me.
That's what it is.
Oh, is that what it is? Football season's daiquiri season. I like it. All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I stay away from daiquiris until football season.
All right. Uptown Ruler, thank you so much for the phone call, man.
Thank you,
it's 2:60 and I'm 1 minute late for my break. D, we'll come back out of the break and go to you, sir, and get, we got to get some defensive players. Which one stood out to you? Marcus? Oh, Lattimore. Let's do Lattimore.
I like the bunch of them. They also talked about who needs to fill the role of Jackrabbit, so.
Jackrabbit, huh? Hey, man, oh, what are you giggling at? You moved it. 15-2. Who needs practice, man? 15-2 on this season.
We don't need practice.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Hey, man. My school is insane.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
It is estimated that over 1 million visits are made to emergency rooms each year for suspected concussion from youth sports. A concussion is a brain injury that occurs from a bump or a blow to the head.
If your child experiences a blow or bump to the head during sporting activity, look for the following observable signs. Appears dazed, seems confused, moves clumsily, slowed speech, loss of consciousness, personality change, or inability to recall events prior to or after the hit. Other symptoms experienced by the athlete may include headache, nausea, dizziness, blurred vision, sensitivity to light and noise, sluggish feeling, difficulty concentrating or remembering, confused, or feels out of sorts.
It is important to remember that a concussion is not always associated with a loss of consciousness.
Balance is a reflection of brain functionality. Experts assess an athlete's balance, including postural control and sway velocity. In addition to balance, memory skills, learning, and concentration are also assessed. Baseline testing, often used in professional and collegiate athletics, provides a preseason evaluation of an athlete's abilities. In the event of a concussion, results of a baseline test can be compared to the post-injury testing.
The Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional understands the importance of safety in athletics.
We utilize advanced concussion testing technology called the NeuroCom Balance Assessment System. NeuroCom provides medical experts the information needed for a more objective, accurate, conclusive, and quicker diagnosis of concussion for an athlete's safe return to competition.
Testing is conducted at the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center within the Wellness Center of Thibodaux Regional. The baseline testing procedure is the same for all sports. One baseline test per year is recommended. Baseline testing is recommended for athletes of all ages who participate in contact sports. Baseline testing should occur preseason before practices begin. Cost for baseline testing is minimal. Concussion baseline testing is painless, non-invasive, and lasts approximately 10 minutes.
If you are interested in setting up a baseline concussion testing appointment or have questions about concussions, please call the Sports Medicine Center at 985-493-4502, 985-493-4502,
or www.thibodaux.com, www.thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit thibodaux.com.
One performance a day.
Let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Well, when you have a running back as talented as him, you make it a focal point to get guys like that the ball.
It is Jimmy Swinston and Alvin Kamara. But Jordan, before we continue with D,
breaking news
and more Saints sound, this is massive breaking news that we have got to report to you right now. Interrupting everything, Jordan, go.
LeBron James,
yes,
is changing his number to number 6 next season.
There it is. There it is. Breaking news. LeBron, does that mean he's giving 23 to Anthony Davis?
Finally.
There it is. After two seasons, Anthony Davis.
I did see. Yeah. For fans out there, if you are a LeBron James fan, God have mercy on your soul. But also, you could put a multiplication number.
Oh, a little X.
A little X.
A little X in between the 2 and the 3, and you got
or
your
symbol,
6.
Yes. And you got 2 there times it is. 3 is 6.
There it is. You don't need to buy a brand new $180 jersey.
So, ha, LeBron.
This has Travis written all over it.
It has money signs written
because
all over it.
Because you know what? Now, and you know the theme now, right? New name, new number, new mission.
And another paycheck.
D, thank you for holding on through that incredible breaking news. I'm sure you feel more informed now. How are you?
Well, it's the NBA. And what I'm getting ready to ask you guys is going to be taken from the NBA, which I can't even believe I'm going to say that. But I wanted to talk about the playoff format in college. We want to keep the bowl games because, you know, there's nothing better than to have 40 games on in a two-week period that we can actually watch a game every night. And, of course, if we do that, you're always going to have people that are going to sit out and go straight pro. But it's really not about that. When you have these bowl games, you can have 15 extra practices and have your new or your young players get a lot of reps and get prepared for next season. And you can use it like that. But instead of having, like, you know, 12, 16, or 64 teams, and it's going to take a month or you're going to make the playoffs, you know, way more worthy than the season itself. What they should have is you should have a champion from each Power 5 mm-hmm. and then a champion from the FBS, which makes 6 teams, okay? And then you do just like the NBA did. You take 4 wild cards, okay, maybe in a second SEC team or a second ACC or Big Ten or Pac-12, maybe even a second FBS team, and you have those 4 teams play the week before. The 2 winners, they're going to jump in their top 8, and then you start from there, top 8, 8-4-2 champion. That way you've got 10 teams that are vying for one spot, okay? And that way you solve every champion's going to get a shot. And then you actually have four wild card teams instead of just one or two. You have four that has a chance to actually get in the dance, the eight team dance.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you're going to put more emphasis on the season, but you're going to put more emphasis on end of the season for guys to stay because you got more teams buying for a shot, and you're still keeping the bowls because I just don't see how you can get rid of the bowls because the bowls are fun. You know, don't get me wrong. The Weedy, the Poulon Weedy, the your mama's taco bowl, whatever it is, and you got, you know, Utah State against New Mexico State. It's still a game on, and we're still going to watch. Okay. Even if Joe Blow quarterback is going to turn pro and he's not going to play, you're still watching that game tonight. So you still get your bowl games, and you still get the teams to practice, but you still put more teams with a chance to win it, and you still put the emphasis on the conference champions. You win your conference, you win.
Right.
And then everybody else, it goes from a wild card perspective. You go from four to two, and those two become part of the eight. I mean, does that sound pretty good?
D, I'm in favor of anything more than four. And again, my whole thing is not only it's going to be the same six teams every 4 years, right? I mean, it's just four. It gives other people an opportunity. And, you know, Booger today, he made this point, which is just silly to me. Listen.
What would you say if they decided to go from 4 to 12?
Well, I think they were doing the wrong thing, Greeny. And, you know, for everyone who says we need to go from 4 to 8 to 12, I would just ask one question. Why? Is it about money? Is it about greed? Is it about the kids? Is it about your satisfaction? Because we all talk about, hey, playing for a national championship should be tough. We want to take it out of the computer's hands, take it away from the BCS. Well, we did that. We have a college football playoff where 12 to 13 members sit in the room, and you have the humans who vote on it, and they decide which four teams should be in the playoff. It should be hard. Why are we continually trying to make the college football playoff easier? It's not for the kids' satisfaction. It's not for the school's satisfaction. It's for the satisfaction of everyone else, including myself, who cover the sport. It should be hard. I've said it from the get-go, and I'll say it again. If they change it from 4 to 8 to anything other than 4, they're making a mistake and they're doing it for the wrong reasons. Money, greed, and self-satisfaction is no reason to change it. And at some point, if you're the governing body, the Power Five, the NCAA, whoever the hell is governing the sport these days, because I have no idea, ask yourself this. This is still an amateur sport, isn't it? Why are we continually trying to make this a professional sport by saying, let's go to a 12-team playoff, a 16 playoff? Like, miss me with all that, Greeny. It's 4. It should remain 4. I like it. Everybody is ticked off every year because somebody got left out. And you know what that creates? That creates intrigue about the sport. That creates a lot of emotion. And that's what college football is about. So I truly hope they never change it.
I couldn't disagree with him 100% more than that, D. Aside from the fact that the whole point is it's literally the only sport and the only level of the NCAA, or it is, where you legitimately, first game of the year, have no chance for many teams to get in.
We already know Alabama and Clemson are going
to
be.
Hold on, my point is, like, for the ACC, I mean, you have to go undefeated and hope that one of Booger's peoples is going to think you're good enough and vote. Here's my problem with all of this is, D, competition in its essence means deciding it in competition, right? I mean, LSU is playing in a super regional. If computers or people had to decide, do they make it in or not? No, they went in to their body of work, and then they got in, and now they made it to a super regional. My point is, it's decided on a field. And no, probably Tulane or Houston or, you know, UCF winning the ACC gets drummed by Bama. Everybody else is getting drummed by Bama.
You get
Bama.
A chance.
I mean,
you get your shot. And,
yes,
and you're
right,
actually,
exactly
they're
right.
saying that it's not helping the players. That's giving the players
yes.
an actual shot.
But
absolutely.
Guys, the whole thing of it is that it's about just what you said, Gus, about the competition. If you want to do it right, if you want to do it the right way, eliminate me, you, and Jordan guessing who we think should be in. You make 8 conferences, and you make 8 conference champions or four conference champions play each other. And when you get there, you are a conference champion. You are representing your conference
absolutely
to win it all.
Well, the
that's
way,
how you do it. If you want to do it the right way, that's right. The right way.
Well, the way that this 12 setup, this 12-team setup is, it's all five power conference champions. Right? Because remember this past year, literally, the team that won the conference didn't get in. Ohio State did. Like, think about that. It's silly. So, you win your conference, you got a spot. The Power Five. So, you got five there. The group of five, best team, will get one. So, the ACC's considered basically the sixth best conference. So, whoever wins the American Athletic, which Tulane is in or whatever, they're in. And then it's six, open bids, whatever. So they'll choose six other teams. That's what the committee will choose. But again, I like that because to the point that Dan Orlovsky was making earlier and Paul Feinbaum made earlier, these are, again, younger kids or whatever. You have a bad day. Like Orlovsky brought up Texas A&M. They had one loss to Alabama, who drummed everybody else in the national championship game. Is that team not deserving of playing in an 8 to 10 to 12 team playoff?
I mean, a shot.
Well, but yeah, that's my point. They had one bad game, and it was against Bama, the team that won.
I mean, you're
all
crowning the true winner at that point if you make it 12 teams.
Look, I think correct. This solves a lot of different things. I know today in Congress they're looking at name, image, and likeness. This is a way to with this you have more money because what they're going to do, as Pete Thamel was saying, is this is just them to formulate the plan and idea and then present it, here we go, D, to the television partners. This is year eight of a 12-year contract right now. So this won't come for another three years. But they can bid this out for substantially much more money. More institutions will get some. And then you know who else can get some?
Guys.
Players.
Do it on the field. Thanks for the call, guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Cajun Goat will come to you, and then we'll go to the Cajun Ninja. How about that? So, buddy, Cajun Goat first, then dial up Cajun Ninja.
Related.
You think so?
Maybe.
I don't know. One's a goat, one's a ninja. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN 1.
Because you will not believe your eyes.
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven. Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game, and now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Of course we can help you find the right oil for your next change. We've got what your car's engine needs. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and an STP extended life oil filter for just $33.99. And you can get it all fast your way. Just order online with our free same-day store pickup or next-day delivery. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengat.
Cajun Ninja coming up in a quick sec. First up, Cajun Goat. How are you, sir?
All right, brother. I'm ready to make my Saints predictions for the year on my hot takes.
You ready?
Yep, I am ready. You ready? Write it down.
Jordan.
Saints are going to win 11 games. Yep, write it down. 11 games. The Saints will win 11 games this year. They'll win the NFC South. They'll have the defensive player of the year.
Whoa.
And I'll call it real quick, the kid from Kansas City that's coming in. He's going to lead the Saints in sacks. And that's because he gets Tom Brady a stationary target twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he also gets Matt Ryan twice a year. So I think he can get a bunch of sacks. Those two guys are kind of stationary. And I think they're going to have a great season, man. I'm not worried about quarterback. I think Jameis Winston's going to be the quarterback for 8 games, and then I think the last games of the year Sean Payton's going to get real innovative and put Taysom Hill in. That way everybody's going to have to change whatever film they have on the Saints up because they're going to have a different quarterback and two different styles of offenses.
Wow.
So that's Pedro, hot takes.
Let me see if I have this right. Let me see if I got your order.
That is like some spicy Tabasco hot takes. You get 8 games of Winston and 8 games of Hill.
Let me see if I got your order right. Yeah. So 11 wins by your New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
They win the NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Kansas City leads.
Tanoh Passanau. Yeah.
Leads the team in sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis starts the first 8 games. Tamis then starts the final stretch of the season with last 8 games.
Yep.
Did I miss anything?
No. The last one was a good joke, but yeah, I'll put that on the list. This is my deal and the reason I feel so highly about them winning 11 games.
Okay.
When Drew Brees came here, did we know Drew Brees was a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No.
No.
Nobody. No way.
Okay. What did they do the very first season?
10-6.
NFC South Championship game.
Yeah.
NFC Conference NFC Championship game,
yeah,
right?
Against the
Chicago Bears.
Yes.
And exactly. And I think that Sean Payton is in this mode of a start over without Drew Brees. And I really think when he's focused in like that, that they're going to be a very successful team. And that's why I feel like they're still going to win. And remember, we beat the Tampa Bay Bucks twice last year. They'd only beat us once. I understand it's when it counted in the playoffs. But it was a hokey game and a lot of injuries. Taysom didn't play in that game. We had a lot of different things going on. So I still don't think, I know we lost some players, but I think we replaced them players with quicker players. So the only thing I want to see now is the linebacker coming back, Alexander. I'd like to see them sign him back, and I think everything on that Saints train is going to be running in the right direction.
All right, there he is, Cajun Goat. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, buddy. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
Sure. Oh, there's the music, Jordan.
There we go. It
can only mean one thing.
Wait for it.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
It is. Each and every Wednesday, we like to speak to the Cajun Ninja. Sir, as always, we appreciate your time. How are you doing, though, and feeling? Because apparently you stayed up late, watched LSU, get out of Oregon, make it to the Super Regionals. How's the heart doing, sir?
Oh, man, it's always good when it's a victory. It's like the stress relieves itself, you know? And we weren't supposed to even be here, so I'm pretty ecstatic. You know, we're going into a weekend of having more games at our disposal here of our beloved Tigers in baseball.
Do you nervous eat, like, as the game is going on? Do you like, whip up something, or you just go with the bag of chips? Do you make nachos? Do you go Cajun Ninja style and just take, like, a regular hot dog or something and make it Cajun Ninja style? Or you're so nervous you're not even actually eating?
Oh, look, when it's going on, I don't really eat anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of just zoned in. But when it's all over, I realize I have worked up an appetite. And at that point, you know, the pantry starts getting attacked. And typically it's the you know, Little Debbie's or the Chips Ahoy.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I like that. Jordan, do you have anything that you kind of binge eat while you're watching something?
Chips. Sometimes I'll just get, like, it might sound weird, just a scoop of peanut butter. And
a
just
scoop
like,
of peanut butter? That's actually like healthy. Do you have any peanut butter dishes, Cajun Ninja, where you would use peanut butter?
Oh, I do. I do have a chocolate peanut butter pie. I mean, it's a video I did a long time ago, but, you know, that one is delightful. You know, it's one of those ones where, you know, you maybe put it on a bucket list because there's a whole lot of sugar and everything else up in there that, you know, maybe it's not something you eat so often, but when you do, you hit levels of epiphany when that bite of chocolate peanut butter pie hits your palate.
Stop. I'm salivating. I'm starting to salivate.
Jordan's eyes just now got pretty, pretty big. Look, one of the videos you have posted on your website, on Facebook, of course, is lasagna. I love lasagna. So yours is the four cheese lasagna. I mean, you have the meaty goodness and everything in there, right? You just have four different cheeses. I mean, I know you've done different types of lasagna as well.
Yeah, well, I've got the seafood lasagna, I've got the crawfish lasagna, but, you know, this one was kind of my play on, just a traditional lasagna, but I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, your Italian enthusiast out there may not exactly agree with my style of lasagna here. I mean, for one, I don't even boil the noodles for this lasagna, but I've done it so much to where, like, there's a lot of kind of juices flowing in it, and when you bake it in the oven for about an hour, the noodles soak up all the juices, and then the sauce thickens on its own, and the pasta's cooked perfect al dente.
Oh, that sounds amazing. This weekend coming up, what do you have cooking for us? Just tell the listeners what you're making over the weekend.
So one of my favorite things to get down on is some homemade egg rolls.
Ooh.
All right?
I've seen you make those a couple times. Those look delicious.
They're awesome. You know, throw down a breakfast sausage in there with a mix of ground beef. You got your cabbage, green onion, celery. Throw some Cajun seasoning in there. Use that garlic chili sauce that Sriracha makes. A little bit of soy sauce. Wrap some things up, fry them. Money.
See, now you brought me back to money. I did that for Mother's Day. I'm telling you, it is a fun dish to make, man. I actually really, really enjoy that.
Yeah. Look, they're a little time-consuming, but, man, when people eat them, they're blown away. It's the best egg roll they ever had.
You see, one of the things I liked about it when we did it as well, and John, we'll get to you in a quick second, is doing the I enjoy cooking, like the cooking process, right? And so when I did that, we were doing it for Mother's Day, and we did it obviously for my mom and Ann and all that. But we had like some wine, we had some music and things of that nature. Are you sort of like that? Do you enjoy the cooking process?
Yeah, you know, I think you're kind of getting the zone, man. That's why, like, I enjoy making a roux, you know, low and slow versus the fast one. There's many people that tell you, oh, I can get a roux so much faster than that. But there's something about it, you know, slowly blending to the color of, like, a white-looking roux to a very dark chocolate-looking roux. You know, and I also find, too, that when you do it slower, that the flavors are more well-balanced. A fast roux, to me, has more of a charred taste. You know, this is just me. Personally,
right.
But I think whenever you really take your time, not only is the process a little bit more enjoyable and less stressful, but I find the flavors are come together beautifully.
I do love what's happening as well too. Now your Cajun seasoning is out and things. People sending you dishes and what they're doing. The presentation of the fish tacos or the shrimp tacos, very nice. I love the thinly sliced avocado there. See the slice of lime, the presentation. I mean, like, whoever did that was pretty good. Like, the presentation. I love in the backdrop. There it is. There's you with your seasoning on your can.
Yeah, you know, Gus, like I tell a lot of these people, I'm just lucky to even have a seasoning next to these plates. You know, there was some guy named Blake Knockhand. If he's listening, you know, shout out to him. You know, I am very fortunate to have this stage and this platform because obviously there are people out there doing far superior things in cooking than I am. and it's a blessing that they've used my seasoning to jazz it up.
Cajun Ninja, don't downplay yourself. You got millions and millions of views over on YouTube and on all your social media platforms.
And,
so.
don't get it twisted. That pat on your back was because he still wants to be, your friends. Exactly.
I still want to go to your house one day, do a live remote.
You're incredible. You invited yourself to the Cajun Ninja's house.
I
want to
cook
ask him.
I like cooking food.
Oh, is that? Do you?
I do.
What is your dish?
It's quite simple. I mean, people are going to probably laugh when I say this. It's a hamburger.
You know what? That's not even now.
Yes, it is. That's good. I've also learned how to make this really good baked chicken recently.
Yeah, you know, we got to start somewhere.
Have to start somewhere, Cajun Ninja, huh?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, I like a good burger. I like baked chicken. I also remember when I had my first beer. You know, and
when you put it like that, Cajun.
No. What he's saying is, there's always you have to start somewhere.
Right.
You do have to start somewhere. I mean, you know, I got little guy next door that had to start to show him how to go to the bathroom, and now he just goes to the bathroom while I'm doing my show. I'm fine. It's just great. That's to start somewhere. It's really good. You get it, huh, Cajun Ninja?
Yeah, look, I tell you what, I said this before. If ever y'all truly want to do that, I don't know if it's a joke, but if you're serious.
No, I'm serious.
No, I'm in. Yeah, we'll do it. Let's do it. Absolutely, yeah. Like
the equipment you got to do, and the whole time, you're talking to all your people, you're doing your phone calls, I'll be cooking. Okay. We'll throw it down. We'll do some taste testing in between.
Let's do it. Let's pick a week, man. Let's talk off air and let's knock it out. And that way Jordan can be happy and he will be a celebrity amongst his friends.
I can already smell it.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Oh, by the way, I get texts every single week. So did you talk to the Cajun Ninja? I'm like, listen to the show.
Yeah, listen to the show.
I mean, guys. Come on. Man, we have one every Wednesday.
It's incredible.
I'm always curious how the show even does. I mean, are you able to look at ratings and see if people are tuning in?
I don't even know. I'm surprised that anyone even calls the show, to be honest with the Cajun Ninja. So I just, we have you on to help the ratings.
Come on, man. Nah, man. You guys have done a great job for a long time. I am very lucky to get to have this little segment, once a week.
Nah, man, same here. And I promise, let's plan it, man. We'll do it at the end of the month or beginning of next month or something like that, and we'll pick something. Maybe we'll go into the July 4th weekend or something. We'll figure something out.
I like it.
All right, my friend. Tell everybody goodbye for us.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. Faith over fear. Hi-ya!
Hi-ya! There it is, the Cajun Ninja. Each and every Wednesday, we like to chat with him.
God.
The egg rolls. You have got to try the egg rolls.
I have to.
It really is. It's not that complicated. It really isn't.
I might be making something from the Cajun Ninja.
Now, I threw
weekend.
In chorizo.
Chorizo?
Chorizo. Just go buy little things right where the sausages
are. What is that?
It's Spanish sausage.
Gotcha.
And it has spice to it. Dude, I'm telling you, the chorizo. Oh, yeah.
The chorizo.
Chorizo. How, is this the final segment?
It looks like it. It's 2:45. Yeah.
Do we get him on? Do you? What segment we could do with him?
Like, what do you mean? Like?
Because if I ask him about his trip to Miami, then he's going to, he's going to want to go again.
Carver,
yes.
I'm like, wait, who are we talking about?
The other next door.
The other human being that's
which
here.
Actually is a good compliment that you didn't even know he was.
No,
actually
he's
here.
Actually he's been very, very good today.
Final segment next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Golden Motors right here in Cutoff, Louisiana is the place to buy your next Chevrolet, Buick, or nearly new pre-owned or any make or model vehicle that you're looking for. Golden Motors, nestled only 60 miles from New Orleans, only 35 to 40 minutes from Homo Thibodeau area, and only seconds from www.goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where price is priority. Cut off Louisiana, 985-325-1000, or goldenmotors.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
It's Mike DeTillia for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero-turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, Rose and Thibodeau.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I mean, it's obviously competition with it. You got to compete with Taysom, and he knows that. Taysom knows that he'll got to compete with Jameis, but I think they're, both of them have the right mentality.
Yeah. Alvin Kamara in a quarterback battle that we will see unfold before our very eyes in training camp. The San Francisco 49ers, by the way, just canceled minicamp as well.
So the Saints started a trend.
No, they've actually had OTAs and on the field work. Anyway, what? I'm just pointing it out. This was interesting from Cesar Ruiz yesterday. He talked about how heading into the second season, he feels more comfortable, obviously.
Understanding what's going to happen for the upcoming season. I benefited a lot from it. You know, I was able to just sit back and slow things down, just watch all my film, you know, just talk to coach, figure out things I got to work on and just work on all those things, you know, if I've been in a rush.
John, give me two more bites and I'll come to you, man. I promise. Ruiz was asked, guard or center, Jordan, what are you playing this year?
I mean, there's a bunch of different variety of things that, you know, you see at in that center. You know, you got guys that are wired than usual. It's a bigger area of space to work with when I'm going against people at guard than it is at center. So that was the one thing I feel like I had to get adjusted to.
Hmm. So the position focus this season is?
I mean, right now I'm just going with, you know, what it was last season. You know, I'm just focusing on becoming a guard, you know, figuring out, making sure I have that down before I really try to focus on too many things at once. So that's what I really focused on this all season was, you know, understanding how to, you know, become an actual guard and get used to it.
Interesting, huh, Jordan? They drafted him to be a center, but COVID hit, so he's a guard. And now
focus on being a guard.
He's going to try to make him a guard rather than drafting a guard. We're gonna... John.
Makes too much sense. What are you talking
You know
about?
What? Up it up. 16-1 now. 16-1. John, how are you today, man?
16-0-1.
How are you, John?
Well, I'm all right. How you doing? Mm-hmm. I still think they're going to win 12 games, bro. I don't see anything that's happened that says this is not an 11 or 12 win team. They still have a pretty good team. So, and, hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. Just letting you speak. Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yeah, I got you.
Hello? Okay, yeah. I hear you now. Yeah. I still think this is a 12 win team.
Yep.
Really? I think they have I think they probably will be two rookies starting on defense. The cornerback they got from Stanford and probably the linebacker they got from Ohio State. But I really think this is still a 12, maybe 11 win team.
Well, Jordan has him 11-6. Lots of different people have around 11, 12 wins. Remember, 17 regular season games this year. So there you go.
Yeah, but the offense is still going to be a very good offense. I mean, they lost the tight end Cook and they lost the wide receiver Samuels, but everybody else is back. Smith, Thomas, the two running backs, the whole offensive line. Mm-hmm. And I told everybody, I heard Steve Smith, the former Carolina wide receiver, say something on the radio talking about the Saints offense. He said, if Sean Payton didn't think one of those quarterbacks could run his offense, he'd be knocking on the general manager door screaming for a quarterback.
That's a very good point. You didn't see them try to trade up to go get a quarterback. You didn't try to do any of those things. So it's a very good point.
Because he knows one of those can run his offense. And they're going to have a good team. And about the college playoffs going to 12 teams or more, it always amazes me